Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. I can't hear you guys at home. Can you type louder, please? Well, I can stand in the middle of the stage. It's an amazing thing. I don't know. I'm going to even try and move around a little bit. I'm still not sure what it looks like. I don't know if you guys knew this, but we only had one spotlight for since August, because we're a church and sometimes things happen. And it's also one of those things with COVID, you know, you order something and then it's taking a little longer than expected. It's like when you call into phone companies and they say, we're experiencing a higher than normal call volume, except they've been experiencing that for 10 years. At what point does higher than normal become normal? And that's kind of where I want to start. When does something that's new or that's abnormal start to become normal? New normal is a term that I'm sure has been used enough. You guys are all sick of it, but I thought, let's start a new year with a fresh term you guys have heard way too many times before. But new normal, it's such a popular term these days with COVID, along with other terms, pivot, along with a bunch of other things. But the first time that I ever heard it and the biggest impact it ever had on me was about 8 years ago. My wife, Kerstin, was in labor with our daughter, Liberty, and her and I were in a room with her midwife, and Kerstin was struggling with the intensity of her labor. And it was primarily back labor, and for women that are familiar with that, it was extremely intense pain in her lower back. And she was struggling because the pain was always there. And her impression from movies, they never help anybody, and from what she had read, didn't really meet her experience, and it didn't meet her expectations of what labor would like. And she was having a bit of difficulty, and so when she reached out to her midwife and was talking to her, she said, when is it going to get better? Her midwife started to explain to her these extremely painful parts in between the even more extremely painful waves. Those are your new normal. That's kind of the baseline. That is your new normal. That is a relief from your pain. And I could only imagine her thinking in her head, are you kidding me? This is what's normal in this situation? And so she had these intense waves of pain followed by even more intense waves of pain. And guys, I don't know what you or your experience with labor was, but it was really hard for me. I had to push so hard on her back. I don't know what she was complaining about. I was so tired out. My arm was sore. It was the only thing that would relieve her of pain. So I know she had somewhat of a difficult time, but please show me some pity too. My hand was starting to hurt. But this throughout this whole process, her new normal, having the realization this is the best it's going to be during this experience actually helped her. Helped her reframe the experience. Yes, it's always going to hurt way harder than I had imagined, but it's the best it's going to get for right now. And that helped her get through something that was extremely difficult and painful. And all joking aside, guys, if you didn't know this already, women are the tougher sex. All right? And women, if you want, you can hand me a 20 after or whatever just for that little bit of thing, and I'll treat my wife to lunch after. But I didn't even need to be bribed, guys. My experience in that delivery room, just it totally put it all aside. And I like to consider myself a little bit of a tough guy. I'm sure you guys do probably too. And no, I'm no Bruce Willis. I'm no, I'm trying to remember even what his name is. John McClane from the Christmas movie Die Hard. Arguably. But anyways, I'm no John McClane, but I'm still a tough guy. But don't worry. I'm willing to surrender to women and say they are the tougher gender. But don't worry, I'm still useful. I can open jars and I can lift more weights. And if you want a little bit of a reminder, though, guys, that girls are a little tougher than us, just think of how mothers act when they have colds versus how us guys act when we have colds. And my family had a fresh reminder of this over Christmas. We all got sick with colds to the point where we couldn't even come to church because we were contagious and all that. Don't worry, I'm better now. If I cough, it's just because I have asthma. So that's why we have a splash zone in the front here. So don't worry about that. But my wife was up and about moving, doing stuff, and I was just on the couch moaning and moping because the man cold's worse, right, gentlemen? Yes? Yeah, I know. Women, you can still give me those money after if you want. But as we start this new year, we're still in this midst of what's getting old, but it's our new normal. Now, I have a question. Is anyone else getting tired of COVID? Okay, so I'm not alone. Good. I was sure about that. And I'm sure you can resonate with me as I whine about it for just a few minutes. I get so tired thinking about COVID. I get so tired talking about it. I get so tired of reading about it, planning for it, planning around it, coming up with backup plans, having to cancel, postpone, whatever you want to say. There are so many times I find myself thinking, when things get back to normal, then I will do this, or then I could do that, or this relationship that's strained would get closer, or I could do this, or this problem, or this situation, fill in the blanks, however you have said it to yourself, I'm sure thousands of times like I have, when it goes back to normal. But eventually we have to start wondering and asking ourselves, what is normal? What is this normal that we are thinking? Who's to really say what normal is? A hard reality that's not easy to accept, but that we need to accept, is that things don't go back to normal. It's been seen throughout history when there's major worldwide events, things don't go back the way they were before that event. Events like this pandemic have changed culture in so many small ways that they've reshaped the world and culture and even the language that we use day to day, that things won't go back the same they were. For better or worse, we have to stop wishing for what it used to be and start learning to live in the here and now. And at this time of year, like many of you do, I'm sure you've been reflecting. Maybe you've making New Year's resolutions. Head bows, eyes closed. Who's already broken their New Year's resolution? Okay, nobody. Okay, that's great. None of you guys close your eyes, though, so maybe everyone was too scared to admit it. But everyone starts to think over this time of year, and they start to think about the past seasons of life. And today is actually my two-year anniversary of being on staff at Bethel. So sometimes, yes, thank you. You guys kept me around for 2 years. Let's try another two at least, okay? Let's see what we got. But today, it feels like, even when I was thinking about that, feels way longer in some ways, just the way COVID is. It also feels like it was yesterday. Does anyone have that? There's this weird time dilution with COVID. It makes it feel like it's dragged out and at the same time going super fast. It's a really weird thing. I'm not a scientist, but they should study time and how it relates to pandemics because it's really weird. But just to give you a little bit of perspective, I had a whole 2.5 months on staff at Bethel before COVID hit. So my experience of Bethel has been quite weird. And the first Sunday that we ever live streamed a service, I was actually the one who preached. I was the guinea pig. And there was only about half the congregation there because it was a bit unknown at that time. And then I don't know what happened, but next Sunday, nobody was there. And I don't think it was anything I said. And so the next Sunday, we were fully online, and that was a whole new learning experience for all of us. All of us, it was new, either just watching at home or just being here. And over this last week, I was reading this article. It was an opinion piece, and this person speculated about what the world would be like when COVID was over. And after my little bit of cynicism, is it ever going to be over? I also started to imagine. And so many things that used to be strange to us have started to become just something that we don't love, that we're used to, like wearing masks in public. And not all of the changes have been bad, for example, like live streaming our church services has been something that's good. And yes, none of us liked when we were fully online, but it actually creates an opportunity for those who are homebound or who are unable to attend in person, or even those who are not comfortable stepping into a church for the first time. They're willing to check out a church online and explore faith that way. And we've heard stories of people that have been impacted by that through our church. And there's thousands of churches around the world whose impact has grown because of that. So that's definitely something That has been a blessing. And even it was something that we had talked about as a church for a number of years, I've heard. But all of a sudden, when you have to be online, some reason it becomes a top priority. So we all have learned along the way. But it helps. It's something that's been good. But for all of us, I know this season of COVID has not been easy. And Pastor Jeremy has opened up over the last few weeks and shared a little bit of his quirks. And so I wanted to model that same example. And I have a little bit of a confession. I'll be vulnerable. Please suspend your judgment. But I've watched a lot of Downton Abbey. I'd like to blame COVID, but it started before COVID. And one of the things that has hooked me in, along with the many, the accents are a big thing, but one of the things is I find it so interesting how much the culture of England changed because of World War I. The war to end all wars changed the culture so dramatically. People were waiting for the war to be over, but things couldn't possibly go back the way they were. The economy had totally changed. And one of the things that that changed was how the divisions between the classes worked, between the upper class and the lower class. A lot of the giant households could no longer economically sustain themselves anymore. So some of the larger mansions and houses had to close down and sell and became schoolhouses or medical facilities or whatever. But the world of England completely changed post-World War I. And just like us right now with COVID, there have been so many shifts that have already happened. The world won't go back the way it was. And there's been signs that have shown how fragile our globalized economy is. For example, the one ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. Look how much disruption that caused to our global economy. And even for a more local example, just think of the floods and the damage that was caused to our shipping lanes. Disrupted dairy production because they couldn't ship dairy all the way to Abbotsford and then get it treated and then sent back out. So they had to ship milk from our local area to Alberta and back. It's just one of those things that they never thought could possibly happen. And so there's these little things that seem like they shouldn't be an issue, but we realize that the foundation and the hope and the plans and everything, the way our world is shaped, is much more fragile than we think. And in times of turbulence and difficulty, sometimes we begin to feel lost. I don't know about any of you, but there's times when I just feel depressed, when I feel sad, when I feel burdened, when I feel weighed down. It feels like our whole world at times is upside down. But no matter the state of our world, the hope is that we always have someone who is there for us. That even in the midst of our new normal, we have the same Jesus that we can cling to. No matter the state of the economy, no matter the state of the world, no matter the state of our culture, we have someone to lean on, even as our whole lives may be crumbling around us. And I don't know how your guys' Christmas was. Ours as a family looked so much differently than it ever had before, just staying at home being sick. And it was a little sad. We wished we could have been here in person, but we didn't want to share our colds with anybody. But it's one of those things. We still had Jesus to cling on to. And even in the midst of hard times, there's still hope and goodness. Culture changes. Time moves on, music changes, people change, country borders even change, economies change, relationships change. But one thing we can rely on, no matter what, the one person that never changes is Jesus. And that's why I went with this idea today. I want to encourage you that we may be living in a new normal, but we always have the same Jesus. And today, our primary text is one of my favorite psalms, and it's likely yours. You know it well, I'm sure, is Psalm 23, also known as "The Lord is my shepherd." Many of you might even have it memorized, and I'm going to be reading it out of the ESV, but feel free to follow along in whatever translation you use. But it goes like this. It'll be on the screen behind you or in front of you for those of you online. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I could just stay there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall rest in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, this past 2 years has brought so many new things. New vocabulary, new jobs, new opportunities, new difficulties, new roles, new responsibilities, new issues, new challenges. There's so many things. All in all, it is a new normal. So how are you handling all of the things that are new? How are you doing this morning? Are you overwhelmed? Are you kind of okay with it? Did you know that every single person has a different level of tolerance for change? Some people find any change, however small, to be challenging. Others are okay with change, but they need a little bit of time. They go slowly. Others are willing to adopt change if they see the right reason with it. And then there are other really weird people that love change. And I'm calling them weird because I was a bit surprised to learn when I did some of the personality testing in Bible college that I have what they call an unusually high tolerance for change. I shouldn't have been surprised because when I thought back on it, I have experienced a lot of change in my life and I'm somewhat okay with it. For example, I've lived in 18 different homes throughout my life. Everything from a trailer to an apartment, a basement suite, well, a couple basement suites, a townhouse, row housing, bungalows, two stories, you name it, I've probably lived in it. 18 different times I've moved in my life. I don't like moving, but it helps you declutter. That's one of the things. Which of your stuff is really worth it? And I've also had two completely different careers as an adult. As a kid, I had even more, if you want to call fast food careers, but for me, it wasn't. They only lasted a few months. Now, I may be used to change, and I may have an unusually high tolerance for it, but I've been a little overwhelmed by the amount of change that COVID has brought into my life. And when I've reflected on this, one of the things that I realized is that we all like change, at least a little bit. Who doesn't like a new haircut? Who doesn't like a new car or a new book, a new paint color on your walls or on and on? Who doesn't like a little bit of new things? But when we like those, it's usually things that we have control over. It's usually things that we have at least a say in. But one of the things that I feel like has been so difficult with COVID is there's so many things that have been out of our control. There's so many changes that have been forced on us. The way that we have to act in society. Maybe you're a hugger, and that's something that's been very difficult for you over the last couple years. Or maybe you're someone who likes to really be out and about with a ton of people. That's something that has been hard to do. Or maybe it's been hard to travel. Whatever it is, there's so many things that have been forced on us. And we know it's temporary. We hope it's temporary. We believe it's temporary. And it's one of those things, but it's this change that's out of our control. And when we really think about it, if we're actually honest with ourselves, the amount of things that are in our lives that are actually under our control are very small. And that's hard for us because we like to be in control. Who doesn't like to be in control? We all like to control our lives. We like to control ourselves. And one of the things that we struggle with relationships is that other people don't do what we think they should. Wives, don't poke your husbands, please. We think we have the right answers of how other people should act or do or whatever, but we're not really in control. And parents, just wait or just think back or imagine if you just have a little baby, when a child first says no to you, you realize the power you have over that little human being is so small. If only they understand that, you're on really deep chasm is coming. Because you can't force a child, or you can't discipline a child who doesn't want to be disciplined. We have one child that we like to say is strong-willed, let's say. And she has tested, or I gave it away. They have tested our patience so many times because they just say no. And there's so little I can do other than just pick them up and put them on their bed. And I say, stay on your bed. No, stay on your bed or this. And then they do that, and you have to do the or this. Over and over, that cycle goes on and on and on and on and on. We have so little control. And COVID has reminded that of us. Our lives are totally out of our control. And that's discouraging. And while we don't maybe mind change, maybe we don't mind some of the changes, there's so much of it that becomes overwhelming. But the key is in this beautiful, well-known psalm. It holds the key for us. And I wanna read it again because it helps us find peace in the midst of the chaos in the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall remain in the house of the Lord forever. When you think of peace, what do you picture? Do you imagine maybe like a beautiful, quiet place? Like maybe like I do, a cottage in the woods, smoke drifting lazily out of the chimney. It's nestled in the woods next to a calm lake that's just teeming with fish, begging to be caught off the dock that's just there. They're just waiting. Or maybe for you, it's a beach chair with waves crashing, with an ice-cold drink sitting there in your hands, and your husband is coming and bringing them to you constantly, this fresh ice-cold water, or with whatever you want to picture. It's your thing. Or your wife, whatever. But maybe your picture looks like verse 2 of this psalm. It's lying down in green pastures, walking beside still waters. And that is a beautiful picture, and people come back to the psalm over and over for that comfort. But that's not the best hope that's found in this psalm. Certainly, there are times of peace in our lives where there's stillness and there's calm, when we're in the middle of these pastures and still waters or a gently flowing brook. Yet, peace can be found in all times. Throughout this psalm, we can see with the shepherd at our side. So the peace of this psalm isn't peace that's an escape from trouble. It's not the absence of trouble. The contentment that David writes about and he experiences isn't complacency or ignorance of times of difficulties. The contentment is actually a readiness to face deep darkness, and even for David, imminent attack, yet an awareness that God is ever present at our times of trouble. The psalmist recognizes that even in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, even in the most trying days and times of our lives, even in the midst of grief, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of financial struggles, the midst of chaos and uncertainty, in times of great fear, we have nothing to fear from evil because our great shepherd is at our side. He is by our side. We can trust God no matter the circumstances around us because he never changes. He never shifts. He's unchanging, unshifting. He's always reliable, always there by our side to lead us through those difficult times. And I love the way James 1:17 reads from the NIV. It says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the heavenly lights, and this is the part I want to highlight on, who does not change like shifting shadows. There's a line from a movie called Gladiator that it says our lives are but shadows and dust. And I love that. It's just this idea that we're here for a brief moment and gone. The world around us, culture, all these things that people lift up and put their hope in just crumble over the eons of time. They just disappear. And yet, God is with us. He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change like shifting culture. You can always rely on him. He is the same now and forevermore. Our friends might change or abandon us. Our family might ignore us. Trials may come and our burden at time may feel overwhelming. But no matter what you are experiencing today, you can turn to Jesus and he will be there to support you. His rod and his staff are there to comfort you and protect you and prevent you from stumbling. Only Jesus knows the path that to lead us away and through the valley of the shadow of death. Only he can bring you from death to life. And notice in the psalm, on the other side of the valley of death is this table that's set for a feast. And did you notice when I read it through who the guests at the table are? It's not our friends, it's not our family, it's actually one's enemies. It says that the Lord prepares a table for you, a feast in the midst of your enemies. And the idea of this is that this is a victory celebration. Jesus has conquered everyone's enemies, and they are either captive or they've been won over. And the threat is now ended. And so the imagery is that even in the midst of your enemies, God can anoint you and he can give you a cup that overflows with the blessing of Jesus. He lavishes it on all of us. In the midst of our trials, our enemies, the issues of this life, excuse me, we may feel ever present and overwhelmed by these trials. We can wonder, how can we ever get through this day? We can focus that there is hope in the end, that our shepherd is with us and he conquers all, even our last great enemy, which is death. That is the hope that we have in Jesus. At the climax of the psalm, as I was just referring to, David thinks about the rest of his life and his eternity, and he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's a beautiful picture. Now remember, David did not have an easy life. David did not have a carefree life. He had difficulty, even when he was an older man and he was on the run from one of his sons that was trying to kick him off the throne. He still was able to recall these words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." This psalm provides us with great comfort, and we can return to it when we are feeling lost in the midst of the seemingly never-ending pandemic. But we who have received God's mercy, we who have experienced this, that God may be our shepherd, we have a responsibility that we need to go out in the world. We need to go out in the midst of darkness with Jesus at our side and show others the way to him. So I want to focus on Micah 6:8 as the worship team comes up. Micah 6:8 in the Old Testament gives us our marching orders. It says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Before the coronavirus started and during and after, God hasn't changed. Even for those whose work has maybe been drastically impacted, your life has maybe changed, we are still called to do justice, protect the vulnerable, to help others. So God's desire is for those of us who have been called to his side, to be under our great Lord Shepherd, that we would have a peaceful presence that we'd bring out into the world. That we would have a caring heart, especially towards others who are struggling. His desire is for us to walk humbly with us, to be honest with him and ourselves about our own weaknesses, to come to him and say, "God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to have hope in the midst of this." But he expects us to be faithful in sharing the hope of the gospel that we have. Our primary purpose before the pandemic and after is to do the same thing, to hear Jesus' voice and to obey him when he says, "Come, follow me." He'll lead us through. Whatever you're experiencing today, maybe you've had an awesome Christmas. Maybe this time of year is really hard. Maybe you don't have anything that you're looking forward to in 2022. Maybe you have great things to look forward to. Know that Jesus is calling you to follow him wherever he leads. whatever journey he is taking you on, and know that in the midst of the highest mountains where awesome things are happening, or the darkest valley, God is with you. God is for you, not against you, and you can lean on his unchanging presence to carry you through. If you're joining us today, either in person or online, and maybe you want to follow Jesus today for the first time, maybe you're hearing about his hope for the first time, or maybe you want to rededicate yourself to him, maybe you've wandered a little bit, then share that with one of us. Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Holly and I will be up at the front, and we would love to pray with you. Or if you just have a burden on your heart that you need somebody to pray for, we would love to pray with you. But let me pray for you right here this morning, and then we're gonna respond in worship this morning. Jesus, thank you for inspiring David to write this beautiful psalm. Lord, you are truly our shepherd. Lord, you walk us through both still pastures and still waters, and you can carry and walk us through the darkest valleys, even the valleys of the shadow of death. And Lord, whatever we are experiencing this morning, maybe it's good, maybe it's hard, maybe it's confusing, Lord, whatever plans that you have for us, we know that you will carry them through as we follow your voice when you say follow you. Jesus, help us as we stumble, help us as we fall to turn to you quickly. Help us to be comforted by you, help us to be encouraged not to give up hope, but to put our hope in you and you alone. Not in the culture, not in our family, not even in our friends, Lord, but put our hope in you. So that when other things crumble around us, when other things shift and change, when the shadows move and dance, Lord, that you are unshifting, you are unchanging, that we can rely on you. Jesus, you are our hope in the darkness. You are our light in the dark world. So Jesus, we thank you. For those of us who know and love you and seek to follow you, may we do so well this year. May we do so closer maybe than we ever have before. And for anyone here today or listening online, Lord, that doesn't yet have a relationship with you, give them the courage to take just even one step closer to you, to seek out to you, to reach you and say, Jesus, I don't know who you are yet, but I want to know more. I want to experience you. And Lord, we know that you are faithful, that those who seek you find you. So we thank you for that, Jesus. Now bless each person here this morning, Lord, each one listening online. Help them to be comforted and filled with your Holy Spirit. In your mighty and precious name, we pray.